people now as he preaches the word. Give him boldness and help us to be attentive to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to begin by thanking Pastor Shelley for the opportunity to be able to preach. It's always a privilege and an honor to preach the word of God. This is not something that I take lightly or any man should take lightly whenever you're behind the word of God because, you know, you're God's man preaching God's word. And this is a big responsibility. But if you're there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, look at the Bible reads in verse 13. The Bible says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And the title of my sermon this evening is Fear God and Keep His Commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. Now, what it means to fear, it just means to be afraid. But you're afraid of something that's going to possibly happen. So a definition is anticipation of the possibility that something unpleasant will occur. And I'm going to go through and kind of say a lot of unpleasant things that can occur when you don't fear God and you don't keep his commandments. Now, we live in a society today that doesn't fear God. We live in a society today that passes laws that is contrary to the word of God, like same-sex marriage. We have men that don't fear God anymore. Women don't fear God. Children don't fear God. And the Bible says that we need to fear God and keep his commandments because this is the whole duty of man. And if you will, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Now, what is duty? A duty is a task or chore that a person is expected to perform, something that somebody is required to do. When something is your duty, this is what you're required to do. If you work at Subway, your job is to make sandwiches. If you work at In-N-Out, your job is to make burgers. If you work at, you know, McDonald's, you make burgers, fries, Chick-fil-A, doesn't matter. That's your job that you're required to do. And if you don't do what you're required to do, you're going to get fired. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, look what it says in verse 12. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." So the Bible says that you need to fear God again, and this is what you're required to do. God is not asking you to do this. God is requiring you to do this. Which commandments? All of them. The big ones, the little ones. God requires us to keep all of his commandments and to do them, to love him, and it's for our good. Now, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to give you three reasons tonight why we should fear God. Three reasons why we should fear God. Number one is because God can destroy your life. Now, when I say destroy your life, yes, he can destroy your life financially. He can destroy your health, which are some things we're going to go over tonight. But I'm talking about God can physically kill you. Not only physically kill you, God can kill you spiritually as well. Now, look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. The Bible says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So the Bible is very clear on this topic. We shouldn't fear people that can kill the body. You know, a lot of people may be afraid of the Taliban. A lot of people, because, you know, they might try to kill you. But the Bible tells you, don't fear them which kill the body. The person that we should fear is the person that can kill both soul and body in hell. Now, right here, when the Bible says that the person that can kill you, they can't kill your soul. What this is talking about is when somebody dies as an unsaved person, that their soul will go to hell. And they will be in hell until the resurrection of damnation. They will be in hell until the resurrection of the unjust. Now, the Bible talks about that there's two resurrections. The first resurrection is when us saved believers, we get raptured up. And, you know, when Jesus died, Jesus says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days will I raise it up again." And he spake of the temple of his body. Now, we believe that when Jesus Christ died, that he physically arose from the dead. He showed his hands to his disciples, his apostles. They saw him. They ate with him. So we believe in a literal bodily resurrection. And the Bible talks about that the resurrection of the unjust is going to be, I believe, is a bodily resurrection as well. So at the great white throne judgment, when these people who are not saved, when they get resurrected, when they stand at the great white throne judgment, God is going to judge them according to their works. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And the Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was also cast into the lake of fire. Now, the reason why I also believe that, you know, that God can destroy both soul and body in hell is a physical, your physical body will go to hell. There's many examples, but number one is because the resurrection of the unjust, you know, you're resurrecting your body. But also, when you see the Battle of Armageddon, we see that the Antichrist and the false prophet, that they're cast alive into the lake of fire. And they're the only ones that's there. Then Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire after them, after 1,000 years, and then whosoever was not found written in the book of life. So, you know, as Christians, because we know this, the Bible says, woe unto you if you preach not the gospel. You know, as Christians, this is our whole duty. This is what we're required to do. We need to fear God and keep his commandments and go soul winning. And not only just, you know, sometimes, all the time. Whenever we have an opportunity, we need to open our mouths boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen. There's a whole world that doesn't know that they're going to hell. Every time you talk to people, you knock on their doors, like, hey, do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? Yeah. Well, what do you got to do to go to heaven? Oh, be a good person. Follow God. Nobody knows. And the Bible said that if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost. The person that is lost, the person that is unsaved, they have no idea what it takes to go to heaven. They can read the Bible all day, try to learn scriptures. They will never figure it out. So it takes us to go and do it, and that's our duty. This is not a suggestion. This is not an option. This is what God requires of us. And the Bible says, if any man in me that beareth not fruit, God taketh away. So if you are saved, you know, you're not going to go to the lake of fire. You don't have to worry about going to the lake of fire. But if you are saved, God can kill you physically. And that is also something that you should fear. You should fear God because he can destroy your life physically. He can physically kill you on this earth. Now, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. We're going to go through a story of saved believers that God kills, that God destroys. Why? Because they don't fear God and they don't keep his commandments. And that's their duty. Look what it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain price and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. So we see Ananias dropping dead because he lies to the Holy Ghost. You know, and Peter says, why has Satan filled thine heart? Why has Satan filled thine heart to conceive this thing? You know, so a lot of times, if somebody lies, people think that they're going to get away with it. But a small sin like telling a lie, somebody is dying for that sin. And the Bible says in Colossians, you don't have to turn there, it says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man. So one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not bear false witness. And these people, because they don't fear God, they didn't keep his commandments. They actually had a false witness. And because of that, they died on the spot because of that. And they told, and the Bible says that the young man arose, wound him up, and buried him. So imagine somebody coming to church, right? Just imagine this. And Pastor Shirley say, hey, did you sell the land for this much? Yeah. Boom, dead right there. You guys would be freaked out. Kids would be screaming. And then it said the young men arose, and they bound them up and took them out. So that's going to be your job. If somebody dies in here, you're going to rise and bound them up and take them out, bury them. That's the young man's job right there. So we see the young men arise, they wound them up, they carried them out and buried them. Now, God is not a respecter of persons. God killed this man for lying. But you know what? Woman, you're also responsible for your own actions. God is not a feminist. You know, God will kill a man for sinning. God will kill a woman for sinning. You're not off the hook either. You know, your job, you're required to fear God and keep God's commandments as well. And if you don't, God can kill you too. You're not off the hook. Look what it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. So right away, God is cracking heads. Soon as the church starts, men dying, women dying, just for lying, for bearing false witness. You know, you have the young men coming in. They're like, another body? Like, the wife comes, now she's lying, and then she gets carried out, and she gets buried as well. If you will, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I guarantee you, the busybody woman, they were spreading this thing like wildfire. Because the Bible says that upon as many as heard these things, that great fear came upon them. So they were going everywhere telling everybody, hey, did you hear about these people? Yeah, Ananias and Sapphira, they got killed. Why? That pastor, man, I don't know. That apostle, man, those guys are crazy. Why would they do that to her? And you know what? Great fear came upon all the churches of God. So men are not safe. Women are not safe. Now, this is an important doctrine for ladies, men, for everybody to understand, is that, you know, we believe in servitude. We believe in being obedient to our masters. But there's always an extent that we have to go to. We never break God's commandments to keep the commandments of the man, of man. We are supposed to obey the highest power. In Acts chapter 5, you're still there in Ephesians chapter 5. But I'm going to read this verse again about Ananias and Sapphira when they sold the possession. It said that, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. So the wife, she was in cahoots with this. She was a part of the plan as well. And we believe that wives are supposed to submit unto their own husbands as unto the Lord in everything. There's no questions asked. But when it comes to breaking God's commandments, they're not supposed to submit unto their husbands if it's, you know, their husband's asking them to break God's commandments. But, you know, we believe that wives are supposed to submit unto their husband. Men are supposed to submit unto their bosses. But look what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. This is an important note. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So a wife, she's supposed to submit unto her husband in the fear of God. You know, when her husband tells her to do something, it's as if God is telling her to do something. You know, when your boss is telling you to do something, it's as if God is telling you to do something because God gave that person that authority. When your pastor is telling you to do something, you know, you're supposed to do it in the fear of God. Not because of who the person is, it's because God put them in that position and you need to fear them the same way that you fear God. So you're submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Like, I'm not afraid of this individual, but I'm afraid of God. So I'm going to keep his commandments because when I keep his commandments, I'm keeping God's commandments. So it says in Ephesians 5, it says submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So a husband has full authority over his wife. A wife, she's not volunteering. You know, the Bible never said that, hey, you know, when you get married and until death do you part, when God made you from the woman and he said you're going to be a helpmeet, you never volunteered. The moment you said I do, you sign up to death. There's no leaving. Like, if my wife wants to leave, we're dying together. There's no leaving by yourself. There's no way out. Now, think about this. If you're a lady in this church and you're hearing this kind of preaching and you know what the Bible teaches, that you're supposed to be with your husband until death, and then you leave your husband in rebellion, if God kills Sapphira just for lying, what do you think God's going to do to you? Yeah. You're required to obey your husband as unto the Lord. It's not when you want to. It's not when you feel like it. It's not because, you know, you're trying to get something. No, you're required to keep God's commandments. You need to fear God and keep God's commandments. This is something that you're required to do. You didn't volunteer. And husbands, you're required to love your wives, to provide for your family, to lead your children, and you should never try to have your wife lie to God, lie to the Holy Ghost, lie to church, lie to pastor, because God will kill you too. You know, God is not a feminist. God doesn't care, man, woman, boy, or girl. If you're in sin, God can kill you, and you need to be afraid of that. You know, we live in a society today that this kind of preaching is frowned upon. If you tell the average Joe, the average lady in society today what we believe, they will be horrified. They will never want to get married. They will never want to do this stuff. But the Bible has capital punishment for ladies and men. We see that men and women are dying because they're lying to the Holy Ghost. Now, what if they're committing adultery? According to the Bible said that they need to be stoned to death. You know, if we implement these laws today in America, every lady, every man will be afraid. If you want to stop adultery in America, that's the remedy, the death penalty. You know, if we implemented the death penalty today in America, we will fix this whole country right away. If you want to get rid of every faggot in America, implement the death penalty. That'll be fixed right away. Now, not only, you know, men and women should fear God, but also members in the church need to fear their pastor. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. While you're turning there, I'm going to continue this thought. If the death penalty was implemented, and it was on the news that people who committed adultery, they both got stoned to death, and the videos was out, and the pictures were out, and they see what that looked like, man, there will be great fear in America right away. I mean, America will be one of the most righteous countries literally overnight. And when Jesus comes back again, and he puts his laws in place, we're going to have a whole world full of peace. Why? Because we're using the laws of God. Great fear is going to be in the whole entire world because the laws of God are going to be implemented. Right, people are going to think twice before doing such wicked sins. Now, you should be there in 1 Kings chapter 20. Before I go there, what I was saying is this. You know, our pastor, you know, he has authority over the church. And the Bible says that you need to submit yourself unto them that have the higher power. Obey the elders. I want to just quote this. I want to just say this verse clearly. It's in Hebrews chapter 13. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. So when Pastor Shelley tells you, hey, don't drink any water from the fridge unless the soul winning, that means you don't drink any water in the fridge unless the soul winning. And listen, God is not playing. God will kill you for disobeying the man of God. You know, if God tells children, don't go in the kitchen, God will kill you for disobeying the man of God. Look what it says in 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 35. And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor, in the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Then said he unto him, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. The man of God says, hey, look, smite me. And the guy didn't obey him. And as soon as he left, a lion slew him. He was dead. Now, like, could you imagine? Like, there was an old pastor. He was a pastor. He quit like a bozo. I wish he would have told me, hey, the Lord said to smite me. Because I'd have, bang, quit. Mike Tyson on him. Now, Pastor Shelley told me that. I was like, no, I don't. I might have died for that one. I don't know. But the point is this. He said to smite him, and you need to obey him. And you know what? If Pastor Shelley says, hey, when he gives us the rules on that checklist, we need to obey him as if that's the Lord. We're submitting ourselves in the fear of God. It's not just Pastor Shelley. It doesn't matter what pastor it is. If you're under authority from a pastor from any church, you obey them. No running in the church. No children behind the pulpit. You know, we need to make sure that our children aren't on the, you know, on the port, on the pole of the stadium. Our children aren't running around. This is the house of God. This is not a free-for-all. This is, you know, everything needs to be done decently in order. When we have guests come in, we need them to be in awe by how we represent ourselves. You know, when you have the Queen of Sheba, she went to Solomon. She was in awe by his servants. the way they sat, the way they ate, the way they presented themselves. And we are a reflection of Jesus Christ, and we need to make sure that we're representing God in the right way. We need people to come in here like, wow, I want my children to listen to me like those children. I want to have a marriage like this marriage. I want to have peace like the peace that they have in that church. That's how we need to represent God. And when the man of God tells you, hey, you need to do this, you do it. Even if the pastor tells you to smite him, you need to smite him. Because whatever God says, you need to fear him, keep his commandment, because that's the whole duty. That's what you're required to do. It's not up for discussion. That's what you're supposed to do. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, we see that men aren't safe. Women aren't safe. When you break God's commandments, God will kill you, man. God will kill you, ladies. God doesn't care. He cares about his word. You know, whenever we break God's commandments, we're blaspheming his word. When the Bible says that wives need to love their husbands, love their children, be good, obedient, that the word of God be not blasphemed. When we're not obedient, we're blaspheming the word of God. And God cares about his word. He says, thy word has thou exalted above all else. You know, thy word is exalted above thy name. It's the word of God that is exalted. Now, if you would, hey, I want every child, if you're awake, to look at me and pay attention, because this goes to you. You also need to fear God. You also need to fear the man of God. And you need to fear what the Bible tells you, even as a child. It doesn't matter that you're a child, because God can kill you too. Look what it says in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. This is Elisha, the man of God. It says, and he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 42 children of them. So, little kids, if you're ever mocking the man of God, God can kill you. Right. We see that two she-bears took 42 children. It said 42 of them. That means there's probably 50, 60, who knows how many kids there were. And 42 of them got tore apart. Let me just show you what this looks like. This is the kid. That's what the she-bear did to him. Guts everywhere. Blood everywhere. Body parts everywhere. Oh, but God, why did he do that to God? Because you should fear God and keep his commandments. Don't think that God is something to play with. And you know, as a child, you need to fear God now. Don't just try to think that you could get away with whatever you want, because you're not. God can kill you today and won't even think twice. You need to fear God, keep his commandments, because that's the whole duty of man. God doesn't care. And what's worse is this. When you have children that mock the man of God, but also they're cursing their parents. You know, it makes me think of the Anderson children. How can you publicly shame your father, one of the greatest men of this generation that had done so many works? Yeah. Raise your hand if you was influenced by Pastor Anderson. Yeah, this whole entire church. Because of Pastor Anderson, this whole entire church, for the most part, is influenced by Pastor Anderson. We've got saved by him. We've learned better doctrine by him. We came to church because of him. We cleaned up our lives because of him. And these people, his children, want to mock him, and they want to ridicule him and destroy his ministry. God doesn't play when it comes to church. God doesn't play with the man of God. You know, and if I was his children, I would pray every day that God doesn't tear me apart. I would pray for mercy. And, you know, the oldest one, or Isaac, whatever, this guy thinks he's so big and bad, and he's, like, talking down on his dad. Like, oh, he's only 180 pounds. Like, you know you're not that tough when you have to talk about how tough you are. Yeah. Tough people don't have to talk about how tough they are. Yeah, right. You know they're tough. You're like, I'm not going to mess with that guy. But when you have to pontificate so much that you're so tough, and you know what? As a person that is tough, you know there's always somebody tougher. There's always somebody bigger, badder. He can't beat my little brother. He's about same height, same size. You can't beat him. You know what? They should be happy and appreciative that they had a dad that raised them in the New IB church, that taught them the doctrines of the Bible, because my dad wasn't there. My dad got deported when I was a kid, and I wish I had a father that was there to teach me and to guide me and to lead me. And they should be grateful that they have a dad. You know what? Because I didn't have a father figure in home, I made a lot of mistakes that I wouldn't have made if I had a dad. And they need to be appreciative of that. You know, and John, the dude looks like a faggot. It's like, he needs to cut his hair and be a man. stop painting his fingernails, look like a man, act like a man, talk like a man, walk like a man. Stop being so effeminate and flamboyant. You know, these people, the Bible says, he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. Amen. This is the Jesus of the New Testament. The Jesus of the New Testament says, if a child mocks their father and mother, let them die the death. You will be killed. And you know what? If that happened in this church or in our society, every teenager, every child will fear God. They'll keep his commandments and they will honor their father and their mother like the Bible told them. Right. And their life will be prolonged because they're fearing their parents like God told them to do. Right. And the Bible said, remember at the beginning, it's for thy good. God's commandments are not grievous. God gives us these great commandments to make our lives better. Right. And it's not grievous for us. If you would, turn in your Bible to Haggai chapter 1. So my first point, why we should fear God and keep his commandments, is because God can destroy your life. God can kill you physically, and if you're not saved, God can kill you spiritually. But if you are saved, you don't have to ever worry about God killing you spiritually. You have eternal life. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You will never be plucked out of his hands. You will be in no wise cast out of his family. He will never leave you nor forsake you, but God will still kill you on this earth. And if God doesn't kill you on this earth, God, my second point, can destroy your finances. Now, as men, we work very, very hard to provide for our families, to make sure they have a roof over their head. Sometimes working 40, 50, 60 hours, sun up to sun down, so that way we can make sure that our family has a roof over our head. Right. But this is what you have to remember. The things of God come first. You never forsake the things of God for anything else, for work, for nothing. God always comes first. God is your number one priority in your life. And if you don't put God as your number one priority in your life, God will destroy your finances. So if he doesn't kill you, he'll destroy your finances. Look what it says in Haggai chapter 1. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. So the nation of Israel, they have been in captivity for about 70 years. The house of God is decimated. Nehemiah, he goes back to Israel, back to Judah, so that way he could rebuild the house of God. And you have Ezra and Nehemiah, you have all these guys going back to build the house of God. Well, when these guys get there, you know, they should start working right away. But these people are saying, the time has not come. The time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. So they're putting off the things of God. Why? Let's see what it says. It says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, verse 4, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? So the reason why that they're putting off the things of God, the reason why the time has not come, is because they're dwelling in sealed houses. So that means their house is all furnished, it's nice, it's done, and the house of God lie waste. Now, here's the thing. If they were fixing up their house and fixing up the house of God at the same time, there's no problem. But what happened? They forsake fixing the house of God and doing the things of God, and they were just focused on their own house, their sealed houses. And the Bible says that, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. So what they should have been doing, if they were smart, they should have been working on the house of God first, and after they're working on that, then God will provide them a house as well. God is not going to lie. He's going to take care of them. But what they're doing is they're fixing up their house, and the house of God lies waste. It's kind of like this. You know, if I hire somebody to help come work for me, and I say, hey, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to use Brother Sonny as an example. So Sonny's job is to mow the lawns. But let's say Sonny opens up another business and he mows all of his lawns. And he could do whatever he wants. I don't care. I just need my properties done. Right? And he goes and works on all his properties. All his properties look good, but my properties look like crap. And the same thing with God. People are working on their business. They're spending their whole life making money. They're spending their whole life building their 401k. And the house of God is just lying waste. What do you think is going to happen? The Bible tells us right here, God is destroying their finances because they forsook the things of God. Now, Sonny's a great worker. And in fact, when Sonny first started in April, I had about 10 clients. And what he did with those 10 clients, he did good with them, and he doubled, actually tripled. The first month, we went to 30 clients. After he was done working those houses, he was putting out some signs, door hangers, working relentlessly. And you know what? If somebody's doing that carnally, shouldn't somebody do that spiritually? Didn't Pastor Shelley give Salvador Alvarez a church that was fully functioning, on his feet, ready to go? And instead of, you know, Salvador Alvarez doubling or tripling the church, he actually destroyed the whole entire church like a bozo, like a loser. The biggest loser I've ever heard of and met in my life. Like, how do you know why? When I visited Pure Words Baptist Church about 4 years ago, the house was full. It was, everything was functioning, everything was working great. How did this guy come and destroy it? Now think about this. If God is so upset that these people are just fixing up their houses and forsaking God's house, how do you think God feels that when his house was fixed and it was functioning and running and somebody comes and destroys it? How do you think God feels about that? God doesn't care about a stupid carnal business. I don't care about a super carnal business. I care about the house of God. I care about doing the things of God. I'm using my business as a way to do more work for God, to help the work of God to go. And you know what? What's interesting is this. You know, as I started my business, nobody gave me nothing. I mean, what I'm saying is, like, I didn't have a set amount of clients. You know, I didn't have none of that. I had to go knock doors every single day after work, working a 9-to-5, to make some clients, and then I had to gain clients like that. So why is it that you need, as a, you know, as a pastor, to have a flock ready to go? Why can't you, like Pastor Anderson did, just go to a location, to a city, knock doors, get people saved, and build the church from the ground up? Why is it that when it loses people, you have to shut the church down? Why don't you work hard, worry about the house of God, and build the house of God from the ground up, and let God add to the church daily such as should be saved? That's what he should do. But he quit. And you know what? When you quit when things get hard, you're going to always quit all the time.
Right.
When I was young, my football coach hammered, this is the one thing I still remember. He was like, if you quit practice, if you quit football, you're going to quit on your family when things get hard. You're going to quit your job when things get hard. You're going to quit everything. And you know what? There's no growth in the comfort zone. In order for you to grow and to get better and to build, you have to go through that, you know, that purgatory phase. You have to go through the hardship, the difficulty for you to get to the next level. You don't just quit when things get hard. You know, if the church is running one person, you better grow that thing up as much as you can, because you know what? You're doing everything you're doing unto God and not unto man. And this guy is a loser. It says, look what the Bible says in Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. It says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. So this is the scripture I'm trying to show you guys, that God can destroy your finances. God can destroy your God can kill you, destroy your life. God can destroy your finances. Why? Because you're putting off the things of God. You're not putting God first. Look at verse 9. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord? Why is God blowing upon your finances? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man to his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. Listen, because of God's house that is lying waste, God is calling for a drought upon everything. Your finances, your fruit, everything you have, God is going to call for a drought. You should fear God and keep his commandments. What is one of his commandments? Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That's a commandment from God.
Good.
You know what? And the Bible says there's so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
You shouldn't just go to church Sunday morning, Easter only. You should go to church every time the door is open.
Right.
The Bible says so much more as you see the day approaching.
Right.
As we see the day approaching of Christ's return, there's going to end up being more church, because this world is going to be more and more wicked as we see that day approaching. And the Bible says that this house is lie waste. So you need to consider, you need to think to yourself, when things are not working out, when things are not going good, when you're earning wages and they're going into a bag of holes, you need to consider, the Bible says to consider, think why this is happening to me. Why? Well, did you stop going to church as much as you used to? Were you three to thrive and now you're Sunday morning early only? Do you come only on Easter? Why is this happening to me? Am I not keeping some commandments from the Bible that's clear and I have a clear sin in my life? You need to consider, you need to think about it. So that way you don't earn wages and put them in a bag with holes. God takes his house seriously. Like, this is the most important institution. I don't get how people will literally spend their entire life going to work every day 9 to 5, but they'll skip church all the time. You know, when I was working for somebody, I made it very clear from the beginning. I don't come to church on Sundays, and on Wednesdays I have to leave at this time because I got to be at church. Why? Because I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. And because of that, as a result of that, I'm not the smartest guy. I'm not the most savvy guy. But you know what? I can tell you right now, I've never starved. I've never missed a meal. God has always provided for me, and I've always made it to church, even when church is an hour away. I don't know how I always have gas. I just always do. Because God always provides, because I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, and we need to make sure that we're prioritizing church before anything else in our lives. And if there's anything in our lives that is stopping us from going to church, we need to put that on pause. We need to stop it. Amen. You know, I joke with Brother Sonny, and I say, hey, if I don't see you there, I'm taking out your pay. I'm deducting it from your pay. Now, here's the thing. I really won't do that, but God will. Yeah. Like, and if I don't come to church, God will destroy my business. God will destroy everything that I have. And I work so hard just to make a decent living. Why would I want to just put church on the back burner so that God can destroy everything that I have? I could sow much and nothing comes in. You know, we need to just be doers of the word, do what the Bible tells us, and it's for our good. God is trying to look out for you. You know, when my son is running around and I say, hey, don't run, it's for his good because he's going to bust his head somewhere. Now, he's a Lugo. We got big heads, so he might be able to handle it. But still, it's going to hurt. Now, look what it says in verse 7. This is the remedy. How can you be blessed? Well, look what it says in verse 7. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. So the remedy is this. Go to the mountains, get some wood, come back to the house of God, and build it up. That's it. Let me just make it simple for you. The Bible says in the New Testament that we have a spiritual house. It's not a physical house, but the same principle applies. You don't have to turn there. It says in Luke chapter 15, it says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. So we see that the man, he's going up into the mountains to find that one sheep which is lost. You're going to the wood to bring a piece of wood down and bring it back to build the house of God. That's how we build the church of God, folks. We go soul winning, we knock doors, we find that one sheep which is lost, and we try to bring them back to the house of God. And when we do that, God will take pleasure in it. God is pleased with you. God is happy with you. When you show up to church and you go soul winning, God is happy with you. God is pleased with you. And so, you know, that's step one. And then step two is making sure you're doing everything else that the Bible commands you to do. Now, look what it says in Haggai chapter 1, verse 12. It says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God has sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. You know, when you hear that God can destroy your finances, you need to fear God and keep his commandments and make sure you're showing up to church. Not just when you want to, all the time. Stop making excuses for it. And sometimes, you know, life happens when you're in a position where you can't come on a Wednesday night or something like that. Fix that right away as fast as possible so that way you can try to make it to church Wednesday night. And pray to God that he shows you mercy. You know, if you're not soul winning, if you're not going into the woods to bring woods back down, pray to God that he shows you mercy and get out there to the doorstep and get people saved. This preaching is supposed to put fear in your heart, knowing that God can kill you and destroy your finances. So if you don't want God to destroy your life or your finances, keep his commandments and do what he says. If you will, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. My third point is this. God can destroy your health. So if you don't fear God, if you don't keep his commandments, not only can God destroy your life, God can destroy your finances, and God can destroy your health. And it doesn't matter how much you work out. It doesn't matter how good a shape you are. God can destroy your health overnight. I mean, we see Job. Job was very healthy. Job had everything. And God was trying Job. He was testing Job to see if God would curse him in his heart. And we saw overnight he lost all his finances. Overnight he lost his health. Overnight he lost all his children as God was testing him. So it doesn't matter if you're super healthy or not. It doesn't matter if you run every day. It doesn't matter how fit you are. God can destroy your health like that. That's why I just eat, drink, and be merry, because you know what? I am not going to stress myself out trying to eat good, because you know what? God can keep me alive. God can take me out. So Deuteronomy chapter 28, look what it says in verse 21. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. The Bible says he's going to make it happen. Right? You can't resist it. You can't fight it. You can't stop it. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord, look what it says in verse 22, the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until thou perish. I don't even know what a consumption is, but he's going to make it cleave to you. The fever is going to cleave unto you. The pestilence is going to cleave unto you. God can destroy your health. Look what it says in verse 27. The Lord shall smite thee with the botch of Egypt. Man, that sounds terrible. The botch? What is the botch? Like, bro, you got a botch on your face right now. Man, that looks bad. But he could destroy you with the botch of Egypt and with the emerods and with the scab and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. Listen, and it doesn't matter how many physicians you go to. They can't do nothing about it. Like when God gives you the botch and the itch, man, could you imagine, like if somebody's sitting in the chair and they're just like itching like this, man, I feel bad for you. That's gonna be hot. Man, that is terrible. The itch. The botch. I mean, there's no remedy either. Like, you're done. You can't, the Bible says, thou canst not be healed. I mean, that sounds terrible. Look at verse 35. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. Man, do you guys want the botch to cleave unto you? So fear God and keep his commandments, because you could get the botch. Amen. You can get the botch, the itch, the emerods, the scabs, the fever, and you'll have that for the rest of your life. So, like, that's why, like, yeah, you should try your best to stay in shape. Your body's a temple of, you know, the Holy Ghost. So you should try to stay in shape or have a job that's physically keeping you in shape. And if not, do something. Obviously, we should be good stewards. But ultimately, the way you have health is by keeping the commandments of God. Is by fearing the Lord. Amen. It's about putting the things of God first. That's how you avoid getting the botch. This is another point. point number four. But this is just an extra point. God can also destroy your food. He can destroy your health, your finances, your health, you know, he can kill you, and he can also make you starve. And I'm talking about extreme starvation. It doesn't matter how good of a job you have. God can make you starve. He could call for a famine like that. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 53. Now, this is crazy. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body. Did you hear that? You're going to eat the fruit of your own body when you don't fear God and keep his commandments. The flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give any of them the flesh of his children, whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left him in the siege. and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. Listen, he said the tender man that's amongst you. You know, you know, you think of the big, strong guys. You know, you think of Big J, Jason. He's like, no, the tender guy among you. He's going to be evil towards the wife of his bosom. That means he's going to eat his children, and he's not going to share. Because when you don't fear God and keep his commandments, God can call for a famine. God can destroy your land. God can send you to captivity. The nation of Israel, they got put into captivity because of their sin, because of their wickedness. And there's multiple stories in the Bible when God's people literally ate themselves. I mean, ate their children. I remember there's a story. This lady, she's like, you know, there's two ladies. Like, one lady, like, hey, we're going to eat my son today, and then tomorrow we're going to eat your son. Like, could you think about starving that much when you're going to eat your own child? You know, you spend so much time raising your children, loving your children. You're up with them when they're sick. And in 3 years later, you know, they're toddlers, 2 years old, they're toddlers, and, you know, they're mommy, they're so sweet, and then you're starving so much that you eat them. You will lose your mind when you're that hungry, that your children look like food. Now, you better fear God and keep his commandment, because this is your duty. You don't want God to make you eat your children. I mean, this is terrible. Look what it says in verse 56. The tender and delicate woman among you. So just think of whoever you could think of as a tender, delicate woman. You know, that's fine for a woman to be tender and delicate. That's great. I love it. But for a man to be tender and delicate, he needed to fix that. Yeah. The Bible said the tender and delicate man, like, what a weirdo. Come to the gym. We take what's that gym that Big J takes us to? Strauss? Straight iron in there. We'll pump some iron, we'll get you right. You know what I mean? Come eating with us and some brisket, we'll get you right. You won't be tender and delicate no more. You know, this is one thing I love about Jason, is like every time we shake hands, it's just power. You know, I love it. You know, if I shake a man's hand, it's like this and it's soft. Like, bro, what the hell is that? Like, you better shake my hand like a man. A little wuss. A little tender boy. But Deuteronomy 28:56, it said, the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. She's so tender and delicate that she won't even try to put her foot on the ground, how tender and delicate she is. Some women are like she-bears nowadays. Rah, rah! Like, they go home, that's how they're screaming, yelling at their kids, their husband. It's just like, man, what happened to the tender and delicate woman? It says that, let's read it again. It says, the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, whereas thine enemy shall distress thee in the gates. She's even going to eat her kids. She's not even going to share either. That's how starving she is. Now, what does it say in the next verse? If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. That's what can happen to you if you don't fear the name of the Lord. And just because God is long-suffering towards you, just because God is not raining the hammer down on you, when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Just like God says people are going to go to the lake of fire, they're literally going to go to the lake of fire forever. When God tells you he can kill you, he can literally kill you. And you need to fear God. And unfortunately, there's like pastors nowadays that is teaching that, you know, we preach legalism, that we're trying to preach the word of God to scare people into submission. They mock the fact that, you know, we have to keep all these rules so we can be accepted. Well, last time I checked, that's everywhere in the Bible. The Bible says keep his commandments and live. Yeah, yeah. Your life is dependent on whether you keep God's laws or whether you don't. Right. And if you want to live a long life, you better keep his commandments. Now, I just want to thank Pastor Shelley one more time. Thank everybody for coming. If you don't remember one thing, God can kill you, husband, wife, children. He could destroy your finances. He could destroy your health. God can make you starve. And if you want to be blessed by God, She keeps his commandments. Simple, you know? Like I tell my children, you want to be on my good side? Listen to what I say. You want to see dad go crazy? Don't listen to what I say. You don't want to see dad go crazy. Because when I go crazy, there's no stopping it. So we want to be on dad's, you know, our father's good side in heaven. We want to make sure we're pleasing him. We want to make sure we're putting the things of God first. We're taking the things of God seriously. You know, we want to make sure that we're considering where we are in our lives to make sure that we're progressing and we're not regressing because of our own sins. So with that, let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for allowing us, Lord, to be able to hear your word. Thank you for preserving your word so we could be able to use the word of God to help us grow, to be edified. We ask, Lord, that you put fear in all of us, Lord, to keep your commandments, the small and the big ones. That way, Lord, we could live a life that's pleasing unto you, Lord. We could be a shining light in this world so we can glorify your son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We love you. We thank you so much for everything you do for us. And Lord God, please forgive us for the things, Lord, that we do that's unpleasing to you, Lord. And we pray all these things in your precious son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and sing our last song this evening. Page, 213. There is glory in my soul. Page 213, there is glory in my soul.